Congregation, the conclusion of Mark's Gospel is given to encourage us this Easter Sunday. And we receive it this morning for the strengthening of our faith, for it addresses our doubts. Do Christians struggle with doubt? Yes. Yes, they do. The flaming arrows of the evil one fly in our direction. And we don't always manage to raise the shield of faith in time to avoid being hit. But we don't need to be shielded from doubts in the sense of trying to pretend that they don't exist, that they aren't there. Battling doubt isn't just hunkering down behind the battlements, hiding away, trying to avoid getting hit. Christianity has nothing to fear from looking openly and honestly at questions that you might have this morning. And one of those questions is the most important question. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? It's such a crucial question, isn't it? Because if the answer to that question is no, Jesus did not rise from the dead, then friends, the game is up. And faith is just a charade. A hope in eternal life is a nice thought, but ultimately untrue. Friends, everyone believes that Jesus died. But it's about what happened next that the disagreements arise. Every Easter documentary surface on TV, although not usually with much in the way of documents, you might read the magazines and you see some story, some unbelieving scholar is rethinking Easter. How should we respond to the doubts that we might experience? How should you respond to the nagging thought that perhaps you have and sometimes you have and you try to just brush it away that Easter Sunday really didn't happen? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Or is it just a story? In the passage that we've just read this morning, we have three witnesses who give us their account and their evidence today. You want to give me my PowerPoint there, Andrew? Thank you. And the first of those witnesses that we have, we're going to get it or not. There we are. First of those witnesses is the witness of Mary herself. Mary, who has been following Jesus for most of his public ministry. Mary was one of the group of women who helped fund the costs of Jesus' preaching tour as Jesus went with his disciples from village to village. Luke chapter 8 tells us that this Mary and these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Mary herself had experienced the healing power of Jesus. As a disciple, she'd followed Jesus throughout his ministry. She stood at the cross. She watched him die. And it is to Mary that the risen Jesus first appeared. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. An honor to be the very first to see the risen Lord. Jesus honored a woman who had followed him. And brothers and sisters, this is not what you would make up if you were trying to invent a resurrection story. Women were not considered competent witnesses in first century Jewish culture. In the day, their testimony, if they were asked to give testimony in court, it wouldn't carry much weight, if any. Children, I want you to imagine that maybe you see someone do something and you go and tell mum or dad about it, and then some adult comes along and says the very opposite of what you said. Who do you think the adult, who do you think your parents, who do you think the grown-up might believe? They might well believe the other grown-up, right? Might believe that. They might say, oh, well, you're just a child. You've got a bad memory. You're making up stories. In the same way, friends, this appearance to Mary is the very opposite of a celebrity endorsement. But that doesn't concern Jesus. He appears at first to Mary, the first witness, and he instructs Mary to go and tell his disciples, and that's what happens next. In verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. She met the disciples, the group of disciples as they were gathered, and their hearts were sad. Their hearts were broken. The master whom they had followed for some 3 years had been crucified, and it was the end. It was the end of all their hopes for the future, their hopes of what could be. If the Gospels were going to try and paint the resurrection story in the brightest colours possible, you know what would have happened, right? The disciples, remembering that Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead, they would have latched onto Mary's words. They would have rejoiced that these promises had come true. Christ is risen, they would have said. But is that what they do? No. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. It's not the only time the disciples made the mistake of disbelieving a woman. You might remember the story a little later on in the book of Acts when Peter was in prison and the Lord rescued him out of prison. And he appeared at the door where the disciples were gathered together in their prayer meeting, praying for Peter's release. And he knocked on the door and the servant girl, Rhoda, answered the door. And seeing Peter, she forgot about opening the door. She just left him outside there in the dark. And she went back to the others and she said, "Look, Peter's at the door." And they said, "Get out of your mind, woman. He's not at the door. We know where he is. He's in prison. That's why we're praying for him." But Peter kept knocking. And eventually they swallowed their pride and they welcomed him in. But back now with Mary, the disciples, these men who will be leaders in the church, they don't believe. They don't believe because they know, or at least they think they know, that dead men don't rise. These are not gullible peasants ready to believe any faith-enhancing story that's going to get told to them. These are men of reason. They're not one to believe old wives' tales. You've got to admit, don't you, this is remarkably candid. This is not the sort of backstory that you'd like to have told about you, I imagine, if you were a leader later on. If you'd gone on to make it all up. And then you have this account here, and they heard the news and they didn't believe. This is not the sort of thing that you would want to have said about you. Friends, the willingness of the disciples to later on look very foolish with egg on their faces is further witness to us, in addition to Mary's witness, that they were not men who were easily persuaded. They were willing even to look foolish for the sake of the truth. One writer says, the disciples whose later proclamations of the gospel were themselves met with disbelief cannot have forgotten their own disbelief of the same message from Mary, and hopefully were more understanding and effective heralds because of it. The first witness to the resurrection is Mary. The second witness in our text today, the second witnesses to the resurrection are the country walkers. It's been a rough few days for these men. If truth be known, it's been totally devastating. They've watched their hopes get utterly crushed. Their hopes were crushed when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, watching the suffering lamb end his life, when they buried the man who they'd been following in a tomb. They had hoped that one day he would be the one who would redeem Israel. But they must have been sadly mistaken. That was day one. Yesterday the Sabbath was day two, and now here they are on day three. It's been a strange day. As they said to the stranger on the road, their women have been seeing things. They claim to have seen angels who said Jesus was no longer dead but alive again. How could that be? And then Jesus' companions visited the tomb and they found it empty, but no Jesus and no angels. What's going on? And then the stranger, they were kept from recognizing him, you see. His form was different. The stranger began to explain parts of the Bible to them. He showed how it had been written many years before that the Savior must first suffer. And then be made glorious. That the suffering of the Lamb came before the salvation of the Lamb. And as Jesus speaks to them, for yes, it is Jesus is the one who is the stranger on the road, their spirits begin to lift in a curious way. And they begin to think to themselves, maybe the events of Good Friday had to happen after all. Perhaps it was all part of God's plan. Their hearts are burning. Their hearts are strangely warmed. A sense of excitement is beginning to be kindled within their hearts. And many passages of the Bible begin to make sense to them as if for the first time. Yet they've still got no idea who this stranger is. And the journey's over and the sun's beginning to set and they invite the stranger to come in and stay with them. In the end, he agrees. Their hearts are burning, no doubt. They've got lots of other questions they'd like to ask this stranger who seems to understand the Bible so well. They want to hear him explain the scriptures over a meal. And what did Jesus do? He broke bread. Their eyes were opened. Recognized him. These two disciples are our second witnesses this morning. And they return to Jerusalem at once. They had just walked the distance that would be approximately the distance from walking from our church here in Glenvale to Picnic Point. That's how far they'd walked with Jesus. And it's getting late. And now what do? They turn around at Picnic Point and they race back to Glenvale, race back to Jerusalem. They race back to church. Walk is probably too mild a term, isn't it? These men would have been racing. They've forgotten their tiredness. Was it dark? Was it dangerous? Doesn't matter. Nothing is more important except this. They have seen Jesus and they want to tell others. The story that the woman told them is true. After all, they are indeed eyewitnesses. And this news is so electrifying, so life-changing, that the other disciples need to know about it. Not tomorrow. They need to know it now. They need to know tonight. But it's deja vu, of course, isn't it, in Jerusalem? They reported their experience to the others. They were treated just like the woman's testimony. But the other disciples, did not believe them either. Far from being quick to believe whatever they wanted to hear at this time around, some of their own claim to have seen Jesus, but the others, what are they? They are skeptical. They are disbelieving. Even some of their own claiming to have seen Jesus isn't enough to stem their doubts. They refuse to believe, despite the eyewitness of their friends. One final witness is needed. And this third set of witnesses, and none other than the disciples themselves, the gathered disciples. The Lord himself puts in an appearance to them. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Finally, they can doubt no longer. Thomas puts his fingers in the wounds. Seeing is believing, and they can refuse this testimony no longer. One of the great Anglicans, J.C. Ryle, said, "Never perhaps was there so striking an example of man's unwillingness to believe that which runs counter to his early prejudices." These 11 men had been told repeatedly by our Lord that he would rise again, and yet when the time came, all was forgotten and they were found unbelieving. But if they were convinced at last, he says, they who were so unbelieving at first, how strong is the proof supplied to us that Christ rose indeed. These very doubts of the 11 apostles are confirmation of our faith in these latter days. And so, congregation, don't be surprised if and when doubts arise in your hearts at times. You're amongst good company. You're among people. You're among a company, a group of people whose faith at times seems to give way. But don't conclude that you're without grace, without hope, without God, just because sometimes you are harassed with doubts. Or because in seasons of life you find yourself wondering, doubting, unbelieving. But rather, let us fight against unbelief and be reminded of the testimony of God to us in the scriptures that he has given us. Friends, the goal this Easter Sunday isn't just to be reassured or assured for the first time of Jesus' resurrection yourself. Because, friends, Jesus intended that assurance, that resurrection, that message to move places, to go somewhere. Personal reassurance of our own faith that results, what? It results in global witness. Listen to the commission that Jesus gives to his disciples. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." It is true. The Lord has risen. Hearts that have seen Jesus want the world to know. They want to shout it out from the rooftops. They want to make it known from the very steeples of their churches. If you're visiting with us today, this Easter Sunday, we want you to know why we are here. We're not just here because church is something that we do. We're not just here because we are friends in the church, although we do. We're not here simply because we love to sing and Christianity is our hobby, a pleasant amusement that helps us get through life. We are here this morning for one reason and one reason alone. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And if Jesus had remained in the tomb, then we would have remained in our beds this morning. Friends, Jesus is alive. The Lord has risen. He has conquered evil. He has conquered death. And we are here this morning and our hearts are filled with joy because this is true. We say to you this morning, as we say to one another, receive our testimony. For we also bear witness. We are the fourth set of witnesses this morning. We bear witness that the Lord is risen. We say to one another, let the world know. Amen. Let's pray.